Welcome to another OU Insider Behind the Many Lines. OU, Ole Miss, top 15 matchup. I'm here with Ole Miss Spirit. On threes, Ole Miss Spirit, Ben Garrett. Go ahead and tell them, how can they join you, man, real quick?
The Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate on three. Sign up today for just $1. We talk about the Ole Miss Rebels all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit. And thanks for having me, man. A big matchup, obviously, for both of these teams. Oklahoma coming off a 26-7 win. Ole Miss off its first loss of the season at Georgia. And, of course, all the Lane stuff that everybody's paying attention to and talking about, seems like.
We're going
to
talk about that for sure.
It's been a week, man.
So, okay, you brought up the Lane thing. Let's do it. Because this is like, I think it's hilarious. I don't think much of it. I actually loved it. I believe Brent Venables called it a compliment because he was just like, you know what? It's Lane. I'll take it as a compliment. But Lane is a national treasure. He really is. Like, he is the best of the best when it comes to the media and how he deals with you all. I'm kind of jealous. I'm not going to lie. We get it pretty good. But you all have, like, the funniest, most outlandish, probably the most personable coach that maybe wasn't like that in his younger years, but he's done, like, this complete 180 with his personality to the public that has made him so endearing. How is that dealing with him on a day-to-day basis? Because I know Oklahoma fans, they all want to know that because – they're always like, hey, if Brent Venables leaves, you got to go get Lane Kiffin, which isn't going to happen. But, you know, it's that type that his personality makes it that way for most fan bases. And you all deal with that on a day-to-day basis. No matter any job that opens, it's Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin, Lane Kiffin. So talk to me. How is dealing with him and just that, I guess, the challenge of covering his name in every damn job opening?
Well, it's become a yearly occurrence. I mean, about this time every single year it happens. You know, the Florida stuff is not the first time that Lane Kiffin's name has been floated in a serious manner for other jobs. Auburn in 2022 is a good example of how serious it got. And I could see Florida getting that uncomfortable, right? Ultimately, though, in 6 years, Lane Kiffin has stayed at Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has given him everything he needs to flourish, right? I mean, they're top 10 in annual average salary, top 10 in paying staff assistants, including the top overall coordinator in the SEC and Pete Golding, highest paid, I should say. But on a day-to-day basis, man, Lane, I think it speaks to how he treats the media and how he kind of goes about his business. He's very comfortable in his own skin here. He's really grown into his own skin at Ole Miss. He's found his voice, a consistent voice, and he's been consistent about talking about other opportunities in season. He's not going to talk about them. I mean, I asked him specifically about, you know, the Florida rumors and Keith Carter mentioning to us at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, sign up again today for just $1. he mentioned Keith Carter, Ole Miss Athletics Director, mentioned to us last week how, you know, they want to get something done. They'd love to get something done similar to Kurt Cignetti at Indiana before the silly season gets started. And but Lane is one of those that doesn't talk about that, lets it play out. And I know a lot of Ole Miss fans are frustrated because they don't want a 2022 redux here like it was with Auburn when all that Auburn rumor stuff came up in the middle of the season around October, the end of October, and they lost four or five games and cost themselves not only, you know, college football playoff or anything like that, but another 10-win season as well. I mean, they've won 10 games at least in 3 or 5 years under Lane, and tracking toward another one this year. Could have had 5 out of 6 potentially with that year. And I think that's the biggest concern for Ole Miss and folks going into Oklahoma. It's like, man, this doesn't need to be a distraction, and yet it is. But in defense of Lane, he's always been consistent in how he deals with that stuff. But on a day-to-day basis, man, he's a pro mindset guy. He's about the process, about the business. You don't have to read between the lines too much with Lane. He'll tell you how he's a man who means what he says what he means. And, you know, it's a pleasure to cover and work around because you don't have to worry about backdoor, you know, whispers and this, that, and the other. What Lane says and what he means is what is exactly that. And, he's a great dude to cover, man. I mean, it's a storyline every time, he steps up in front of a press conference microphone. Mm-hmm. And what he's done here at Ole Miss is unprecedented. But what he's done also is take Ole Miss to a place where They're no longer chasing chasing big, I mean, blue bloods. They're amongst blue bloods
Yeah.
as contemporaries now. And that's where, when you think about the conversation about Florida or any other job, LSU, hell, Oklahoma, if it were to ever come up, at the end of the day, you better bring it if you're going to bring them, take them away from Ole Miss, because Ole Miss is going to match every single average annual salary that you offer. Going to give him all the resources necessary and the infrastructure he's putting around himself here. I mean, he's got full program autonomy, Brandon. I mean, this is
Yeah.
that's not hyperbolic. I mean, like, he has full and total control and has his hands on everything in his program. His entire family's here. His son's the quarterback at Oxford High School. Landry's going to Ole Miss. His ex-wife moved from California to Ole Miss. Yes, she's a Florida girl, but like, he found himself as a coach, as a person, as a family man, all those things here at Ole Miss. So it's easy to go, oh, well, of course, little old Ole Miss, and he'll jump for Florida. That's a regressive way to look at it. Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin have been a perfect marriage, and it's a lot more complicated than that. And while it could get pretty serious with Florida, and it could scare the hell out of Ole Miss, past history tells you that he's going to end up sticking around again with a hefty salary. And I know Jimmy Sexton wants to make him the highest paid coach in college football, which, if you can get it, good for you. Go for it. And I think Ole Miss is willing to pay him that. But there are also some legitimate criticisms of his resume, right? I mean, he's 1-for-10 in true road games at Ole Miss
Yeah.
against AP top 25 teams. Last year they had I think the most, the top three as far as draft selections in the SEC, which means top three in the country,
Yeah.
and still lost three games and missed the playoffs, which was a colossal failure. It's interesting to see how Ole Miss fans are handling this, how other fans are handling this, and how Lane's handling this against the backdrop, especially that you're going to Oklahoma this weekend, and
Yeah.
Oklahoma can beat your ass.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it. I was, you talk about the dollar amount, and everybody wants to point to when you say those type of things, and this is the first thing, and it came to my mind too when you said it, just because everybody looks at Mississippi and they're like, oh, well, how do they go toe to toe with Oklahoma and Florida? With they don't have any Fortune 500 companies in that state. They don't have,
It's like
that
they
type
think that
of.
Ole Miss doesn't have billionaire alumni too. And see, that's the
Yeah,
whole
I know.
thing.
That's the crazy part about it, right?
You
Yeah.
can't go from saying, oh, well, Ole Miss cheated and did this big, bad, ugly stuff with Laramie Tunsil in 2016. And they can, like, how do they do that? To then coming around here in 2025 and saying, oh, they don't have any money, like, especially compared to Florida. That's nonsense. I mean, it's like
Yep.
Florida fans forget too, like, Matt Corral was stolen out of your backyard, right? I mean, the idea that, oh, well, Florida's sitting in the prime recruiting territory in the country, and they're big bad Florida, buddy. I mean, y'all on your fifth head coach, man, since Urban Meyer stepped down in 2010, right? Lane
Yep.
Kiffin's been here for 6 years. We just need to kind of all, as a college football community, step back, and the way we used to evaluate things change that way of thinking, right? The old days of Tommy Tuberville saying, "I'm never leaving. You're gonna have to take me out of Oxford, Mississippi, in a pine box, and the next night going to Auburn," are dead and gone. Stepping up to, quote, bigger jobs. Kurt Cignetti just signed a $93 million deal with Indiana when Penn State was open and they wanted him. And you're here to tell me that Ole Miss is at some prohibitive disadvantage just because Florida has more historical accomplishment than Ole Miss? Let me break it down for everybody. All right, it don't matter if you're Oklahoma, it don't matter if you're Ole Miss, it don't matter if you're Florida, it doesn't matter if you're the college of the Sisters of the Poor, right? If you really want to, it in 1 year's time, you can be a contender just by investing your money. This is a money issue from now on. So if you
Yep.
think you're going to rip, if you're Florida, rip Lane Kiffin out of Oxford, Mississippi, because it's little old Oxford, Mississippi, first you show an incredible lack of knowledge about Oxford, Mississippi. All right. Yeah. Mississippi is 50th in pretty much everything, probably. I mean, Alabama's behind them. And yet no one goes, well, big bad Alabama. How could Alabama, little old Alabama? Because they give a shit about football. And
Yep.
Ole Miss has always cared about football and just simply asked for, a equal playing field, a level playing field in which to compete and not to be selectively punished for the same thing everybody else was doing. And that's exactly what we're in right now, the parity era of college football. There are no good teams. There's good enough, and anybody can beat anybody. It's what makes the game beautiful in 2025. And it also changes the conversation about Lane Kiffin. And I'm not saying he couldn't go to Florida. Of course he could go to Florida. But the idea that Ole Miss won't give him every, like, he has a deal on the table from Ole Miss right now. Right, he could sign it anytime he wants to. He wants to make as much money and get and secure as much as he can in that contract negotiation, by all means. And Ole Miss could get to the end of it. He could say, you know what? I've done all I can do here, and I just want to go for something else. That happens, okay? But the idea that, you know, I saw a buddy of mine, Pete Nakos of On3, going to the Florida board the other day, the On3, he was like, I get a 70% chance of Lane living for Florida. That's complete and utter nonsense. I hate to say it, about because Pete's awesome, but, like, that's just – that's showing a fundamental lack of understanding, one, of how all this stuff works, and also it's a display of prejudices and biases in regards to what you view Ole Miss as. Look, I've been around Ole Miss football my entire life, all right? My entire life. And I can tell you better than most anyone else how different it is now compared to then. And, you know, there used to be fight. Like, the reason Tommy Tuberville left was because of facilities. Well, now facilities, first of all, Ole Miss has got the same kind of facilities everybody else does. But hard truth, folks, no kids give a shit about your facilities anymore. They care about one thing, Brandon, that dollar amount. And who is the most efficient? Who is the best at managing their resources? Who is the most consistent with managing their resources? Whatever resources they have. And Ole Miss, everyone's like, well, Florida's got way more resources than Ole Miss. You can talk about top 10 recruiting classes in high school all you want. But unless you can weigh that against the transfer portal, which Ole Miss has been front leading in since 2020 when they were going to Canada and getting players, and understanding dollar allocation and treating it like the pro mindset business that it is, you're missing the forest for the trees, all right? Yes, Florida could come get Lane Kiffin. Of course they could. But the idea that this is some foregone conclusion, or that Ole Miss isn't going to have everything readily available for Lane Kiffin to make the toughest decision ever, is both misguided and also, frankly, insulting, right? Because you're also discounting what Lane has done, as we started with talking about, professionally, personally, all those things in his growth at Ole Miss. It's just a much more complex, or not even complex, really. It's dollars and cents, but, like, there's much more context to the discussion than, oh, well, Florida's better than Ole Miss. Not in 2025, fella. Not in 2025.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with what you're saying. It's funny. That's why Oklahoma hired, for those Ole Miss people watching, the allocation part, the professional way in which Ole Miss does things. Oklahoma is now doing that exact thing with the Jim Nagy hire. And they're running it like the exact, because Kiffin has all that professional background, right? Like, he went through the rungs in the NFL, right? It may have been short term, but he was there long enough to learn the business part of it and the understanding of dollar allocations and how the NFL does it. Because whether people want to realize it now or not, college football is a minor league football system, and you are now running a minor league football team on a college campus.
Except unlike in minor league baseball, where they're riding buses, these kids are flying
private
jets.
So much better. Yes, correct. They're private jetting everywhere. Correct.
I mean, this is big business, man. I mean, from a personnel standpoint, it's a feeding ground for the NFL, no doubt about it. And the products are becoming more and more. And that's what I don't like about the new culture, because we're losing a little bit of the spirit of the thing. It's why it was really cool to see Washington State fans travel to Ole Miss and pack out their section and cheer for their team, because it felt like the old days, right? Like, our dudes versus y'all's dudes, like, let the best guys win. And now it's quote, hired guns, mercenaries, whatever you want to call it. But, like, that's exactly how we described Lane Kiffin when we first got here. And now he's on year six. So the idea that it's a much more complicated conversation in that way, because we're trying to judge this stuff against the backdrop of what we always knew college football to be. And it's hard for everybody to finally accept that in 2025, the college football we knew and grew up around and loved and fell in love with, yes, the bones, the structure, a lot of it is still the same. Ole Miss and Mississippi State are going to still play in the Egg Bowl. But it is a completely different world now as compared to those. And until you can accept that, and Oklahoma's a part of this too, you know, like, how we evaluate success. Kalen DeBoer is not going to win every single game he coaches at Alabama, Brett
Right.
Venables is not going to coach every, I mean, win every single game he coaches at Oklahoma. Like, I was there at the Independence Bowl when Ole Miss beat Oklahoma, and then they went undefeated with Josh Heupel for their national championship game. You know, I mean, the last team to beat Oklahoma was Ole Miss in that Independence game before their national title run.
That's right.
And it felt like such a huge accomplishment, such a big accomplishment, right? But you can do that. You can go from being a have not to a have in 6 months if you just can handle a balance sheet better than everybody else.
Yep.
And Ole Miss has enough money to never be wanting, or for a coach to be wanting, or to be lacking. And I have no idea what ultimately will happen here. If you made me guess, the betting favorite would be that Lane signs a lucrative extension with Ole Miss, like he's done for 5 years. But I do think it could get Auburn levels of uncomfortable in 2025 compared to 2022. And if you're
Yeah.
Ole Miss, that's what you were trying to avoid asking the question anyway, because Lane has been consistent. He doesn't talk about this stuff in season. Bully for him. But that 2022 year, it became a distraction. And I offered Lane the opportunity to say, hey, do you take anything from like year, past years, like 2022, to apply to this year so it doesn't happen again, doesn't become, a distraction? He said, it's not a distraction. I disagree, because I talked to enough people in that 2022 locker room, being coaches and players, and it was a distraction. And it could be a distraction again. If they go lose at Oklahoma, what do you think everybody's going to be talking about? Because that very
Well,
well could happen.
not just that, it's November 15th is going to be the damn Lane Kiffin Bowl is what's going to end up being, because he hasn't addressed it. So yeah, no, totally agree with you. I will say 2022 be damned, whatever. I look at your schedule outside of Oklahoma being a potential loss. And maybe Mississippi State at Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl at the end of the season, just because they're going to catch somebody at some point this season.
That's
Like
why I've kept going, like, state, get Florida. You know, it's okay,
yeah,
state, get those.
somebody get somebody get Texas this
Yeah,
weekend. Come
it's
on,
like people forget that state played Ole Miss tough as heck last year in
yes,
the
they
Egg
did.
Bowl. I mean, Ole Miss didn't play particularly well, but that the Egg Bowl is, if you throw it all the records out and all those kind of things, and yes, cliche, and most time, more often than not, no matter where the programs are, it's going to be a hard fought, tightly contested matchup.
Yeah.
So state's a team that Ole Miss could lose to. Ole Miss could lose to Florida. Ole Miss, thank goodness, it doesn't have Vanderbilt on the schedule anymore, because even when Vanderbilt sucked on Jefferson Pilot in the old days, Ole Miss had trouble with them. Had to beat them like shitty Vanderbilt with Woody Woodenhofer with like a 54-yard field goal. You know what I mean? From Jonathan Nichols. Those days are gone. But like, it's not as if Ole Miss, just because it's production or its results up to this point are among the best in the SEC, can't realistically lose a few more games. They could lose, go 9-3. They could go not 8-4, I don't think. But
No, they're
what
not
if
going eight
Lenore
and four.
Sellers has his, you know, everybody loved Lenore Sellers in South Carolina in the
Yeah, that one
preseason.
game this year. Yeah, that would this this yeah, that could be. But I don't see it, man. I'm
But
just gonna be
I don't
honest.
either. But that's college football in
Yeah.
2025. Every single week, you are at threat to lose. No one thought Ole Miss was going to lose to Washington State, but Washington State made it pretty friggin' miserable for them, right?
They
I mean,
did.
Florida State goes from beating Alabama in week one to now we're talking about Mike Norvell's job security again. And if Florida State and Florida come open, and Lane is, he would be a candidate for both of those schools, and he stays at Ole Miss. Folks, I don't know outside of a professional job, any other job that he would leave
Deion
for. Like,
Sanders will be the top guy for Florida State, you would assume.
yes,
You would
but
assume.
they did talk to Lane, or had overtures with Lane when Mike Norvell was a favorite to land Alabama in
Yeah,
2023. I mean,
that's
this is
true.
an every year occurrence, right?
Yeah.
This isn't new. And Ole Miss, on its end at least, will do everything possible, and that includes unlimited dollars, because there's nothing more dangerous than a motivated Ole Miss. Because, like, I don't know if every other school is like this. I can't speak for them. But do you have teachers in Amory, Mississippi, and Pontotoc, Mississippi, and Clarksdale, given a little bit of their money? And let's be honest here, teachers are criminally underpaid here, but yet they're taking money out of their paychecks, their already small paychecks, and giving it to Ole Miss to ensure that they're winning on Saturdays. And this, it's a full uniformity thing for Ole Miss. Everybody's
Yeah.
pulling in the same direction in that way. And
That's
it's not just the
interesting.
billionaires, it's everybody. It's a community that only wants one thing: for Ole Miss football to win on Saturdays, and to provide, and to never again make it be a money issue. That's the number one thing I've talked about with Ole Miss coaches too. It's like, when you in recruiting, if you can get it to where the money isn't a factor, as in the money's even. Florida's offering you this recruit. Ole Miss is offering you this. Oxford, Mississippi, and Ole Miss, and the structure they have in place and what they have built sells itself. And
Yeah.
if you look back at the history of recruiting stuff, that's correct. And when you factor in Ole Miss's top 20 recruiting classes in high school, which has never been less important, with their top four every year transfer classes, they're recruiting at the same level Florida wishes it was or used to back in the Urban Meyer days when only the same 10 teams would finish in the top 10 on signing day every February. And you go, well, Ole Miss, maybe next year. You know, if Ole Miss doesn't get A.J. Brown out of Starkville's backyard anymore, well, hell, they'll just go sign Harrison Wallace, Penn State's number one wide receiver, right? It's like, and I don't get it. I don't understand outside of just small-minded thinking or a regressive way of thinking that you don't want you're clinging to a time long ago dead, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you can keep doing it, but you're going to keep coming up disappointed and missing what's right in front of your face. No one cares that you're Florida. No one cares that you're Oklahoma. No one cares that you're Alabama. No one cares. These days, they care about that. That's where like the regionality and the passion and the locality of it, that's where it's really become different. Well, it's no longer just about our guys versus your guys, the haves versus the have-nots. It's like we have invested a lot in these guys, and it's coming from Miss Pinkerton, right? Down in JA, who gave $100 and that, you know what I mean? But like if you get enough Miss Pinkertons, buddy, you're gonna be just fine. And Ole Miss, like that's where you have to understand. Ole Miss isn't little Ole Miss no more. Only two teams, Alabama and Georgia, have won more games in the last 5 years in the SEC than Ole Miss. Why are we having these same outdated discussions? You want Lane Kiffin, Florida? Of course you do. Everybody does. Just gonna have to bring it. I have no doubt
Yeah.
that you're going to, and I have no doubt it's gonna be a hard conversation, a decision that Lane's gonna have to make because Florida is his spiritual home in a lot of ways, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But also, he grew up as a person, as a coach. His father passed away here. You know what I mean? Like his nephew Cookie inherited the fire extinguisher celebration that Knox originated, and now Knox again is playing quarterback for Oxford High School on Friday, led Oxford High to an overtime win over Germantown. Those things matter because if the money is even, like those coaches told me, if it's not a money issue, if the money's even, Oxford and Ole Miss, it's hard to beat.
Yeah.
And you don't have to accept that, but it's the
No,
truth.
it's a pretty town. I went there last year and loved every second of it. I hope y'all love Norman this year. I think people, again, I always say this when we talk to people from behind enemy lines. I think everybody that comes to Oklahoma fails to realize that it's in a metropolitan area of nearly 2 million people.
Yeah.
And it's a big area. Like
Like I'm
every
coming to Norman for the first time this weekend. Like it,
So
I didn't
Oklahoma
know.
City is where you'll be most
Yeah,
likely.
yeah,
So,
we're staying just outside, I think, around Oklahoma City. And like,
yeah.
that's the thing. I mean, yeah, Oxford, it's a small town in Mississippi.
But it's
But get it.
not it's but it's right south of Memphis though. Like people, it's a lot like Norman, man. I mean, it's further away than from Memphis than Oklahoma is Norman is from Oklahoma City because you're only you stand on the north end zone, or even if you're in the upper deck and you look off to the north, you see downtown Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
You see the tower. Like that's how close it is. Like it's different, but at the same time, you're gonna feel like you're in your own little world because Oklahoma Norman is its own little world, particularly the downtown. It's gonna remind you a lot of every SEC town that you come to when you get there. The ovals are absolutely beautiful. I hope the Ole Miss fans love it.
And
As
they
far
will, but like it's same thing as Ole Miss. I mean, you come to Ole Miss, Oxford,
Oh yeah, the Grove
Mississippi.
was awesome.
It's a snow globe town, and if you walk around, you go, man, they can't hide money here. It's
No.
for it, it's obvious. So, if Ole Miss has done a great job under Lane Kiffin to kind of close out this little topic of making it where the money doesn't matter. And if the money doesn't matter, it's really hard to beat Ole Miss right now because of how crazy things have gotten. Man, the pressure here compared to Florida, it ain't even close. It ain't even close. Now, Ole Miss was pissed off after they only won. I mean, when they lost three games with the most NFL draft selections last year, and that's a failure, and you'll be held to that. But Ole Miss also understands that they're in the race every single year. If you go 9-3 at Florida, first time they'll say you're great. Second time they'll say you're not getting over the hump. Third time they'll fire you. It's just you got to understand how different the world is now in college football before you can have these conversations. If anybody uses that same old crap, like it's stupid. SEC Mike, like, bro, what are you talking about? He's like, LSU pulled a top recruiting staff. That's Kelvin Bolden. I'm here on the ground. I can tell you exactly what happened there. Kelvin, there was a mutual agreement. Like, they didn't want Kelvin around no more. And Kelvin didn't want to be around no more. So until you understand the context of it, yeah, he went to LSU to work under his former general manager at Ole Miss, Alex Thomas, who went down to LSU, returned home to LSU, Austin Thomas, excuse me.
Awesome,
Great
yeah.
dude. And he went back home to LSU. That's where he started. Okay. And Kelvin went with him. And guess what? Because of that move and getting Dwight Wilson and getting Dante Moncrief in the recruiting office, they've actually done a good job of reversing course in state. They got Emmanuel Tucker, four-star offensive lineman, who's committed to LSU, committed. He's like, well, Auburn steals a staffer. Derek Nix was here for 15 years. 15 years. He wanted a title bump, and Hugh Freeze, desperate as he was, gave him one to associate head coach. He was trying, or offensive coordinator, associate head coach, even though he's going to call the plays. So, but for him, he just wanted to get a title bump because he's trying to become a head coach before he's out of here, right?
Yeah.
So it's disingenuous to frame it that way. If you were actually being fair, what about Ole Miss stealing Billy Glasscock from Texas? What about going and getting Brian Brown, a sitting DC at Cincinnati, to come be the co-defensive coordinator with Pete Golding, who they took from Alabama? Like, if
Yeah.
we're really going to play this game, at least be fair to the conversation rather than your own biases. And that's what's
Yeah.
really frustrating to me. It's like, y'all need to stop viewing Ole Miss as little Ole Miss, okay? Ole Miss is probably, whatever your team is, Ole Miss has probably driven you batshit crazy for the last 6 years. That is by design. And it ain't going anywhere regardless of what Lane does.
Ole Miss fans, Chris Beard and the Rebels are back. That means fast breaks, buzzer beaters, and block parties. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. From Malik Dia and Elias Carmadine and other Rebels, that's points, rebounds, steals, and more. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. The NBA is in full swing. Think Ja Morant will go over 4.5 rebounds for the Grizzlies? I do too. How about 24.5 points? Just a few simple clicks and it's winning time. I speak from experience, and if I can do it, anyone can. It's that simple. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS, Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska. 19 plus in Colorado for some games. 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_.html for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
No, it's driven everybody crazy ever since Hugh Freeze was there. But the game this weekend, top 15 matchup, it kind of baffled me that game day didn't show up for this game. Just blew my mind, actually. Regardless of the outcome of the Georgia game, it just didn't. I didn't understand it, but and I get the whole, oh, well, Vanderbilt, and trust me, one of my really good friends, Aaron McConnell, Cade McConnell is his son, the tackle or guard that's getting all sorts of hubbub with Vanderbilt, and rightfully so. So love Vanderbilt. His little brother plays on my son's 7-on-7 team. But love Vanderbilt, but it's become so much of a darling that everybody wants to go be around the Vanderbilt thing because it's such a new phenomenon. I just thought that game day should have been, and the 11 a.m. kickoff is so stupid for this game. So stupid for this game.
Yeah,
Thanks a
and
lot,
Ole Miss
SEC.
has trouble with 11 a.m. kickoffs. That's something Lane's talked about. I mean, over his career at Ole Miss, think about the Kentucky game. Think about the Washington State game. I mean, 11 a.m. Has been a nightmare hour for Ole Miss to kick off in.
Well,
So,
then it's a great kickoff time. It's a great kickoff time for Oklahoma fans.
there. So,
No,
Brandon,
I'm
and that's the
just
thing.
kidding.
When you look at Oklahoma coming up this weekend, I mean, like, how healthy is John Mateer? He
That's
looked
a great
healthier.
question. He won't throw the ball deep, and that's the thing that they're hoping that they can try to do this week. He threw it deep once, and when you say deep, probably I think it was a fake pop screen go, kind of a we call it rocket 64 rocket on our travel team, right? And it's a fake pop screen. Then the guy that's supposed to be blocking goes up the field and runs kind of a fade seam route, and they were in cover two high. He put it in a spot between the safeties about 25, 30 yards down the field, but that's the furthest he threw it down the field all day. Against Texas, both times that he threw a deep pass, once was picked, the other one was almost picked. His accuracy has not been the same since the thumb surgery. It hasn't. But at the same time, it's forced the offensive line to really get strong in the run blocking. And they've shown improvement. They showed improvement in the second half of the Texas game. It got better late in the game. Third quarter was just trash, but it got better late in the game. Rolled over into South Carolina against a formidable defensive front, right? Like everybody talks about their defensive line always being really good. It's good defensive line, and Oklahoma dominated that. That's the question for me is when y'all look at that and you see Oklahoma feels like they've never done it 2 games in a row. I'm just going to say, like, 2 full games in a row running the ball. Oklahoma's not done it this year with the running backs. Is that something that scares Ole Miss a little bit?
I think there's, I mean, a lot that scares Ole Miss because defensively they didn't get a single stop against Georgia, and it wasn't explosives necessarily. There are a few, but like true explosives, it was death by a thousand cuts. They just had no answer for it. And from a run, like what's encouraging if you're an Ole Miss defense looking to rebound, just like when you're so bad against Arkansas for the first 2 quarters. I mean, this was like that, except over the course of the game, and Ole Miss was just, it was the worst defensive effort in my opinion Ole Miss has had under Pete Golding in 3 years because there's just nothing that they had.
Yeah.
If you're at Ole Miss, you're encouraged that it's been a struggle for Oklahoma to run the ball, right? But if John Mateer is John Mateer, who was the Heisman favorite after the first like 3, 4 weeks in college football, he can shred you just as well as Taylen Green did, if not better, just as well as Gunnar Stockton did, if not better. And that's where you're really concerned. I think from an Ole Miss standpoint, scoring points is not going to be, I mean, it's going to be an issue because Oklahoma features one of the best defenses in college football. And that's where the matchup to me is won or lost because Ole
Yeah.
Miss has not had any issue, regardless of their quarterback, of going up and down the field and scoring. Yes, Washington State was sleepwalky. And, you know, it, look, man, they've been at home for a month. They just come off the high of beating LSU in a bye
Well,
week.
they had Georgia the next week. There was,
Georgia,
yeah,
that
okay.
they
Yeah.
Lane said they'd already started preparing for Georgia during the Washington State week. I mean, readily admitted that. If you ever wanted to wonder if they overlooked an opponent, even still, give all the credit in the world to Washington State, who last week, you know, had another close shave opportunity. So Washington State is you know really competing out there. But the point is that what Oklahoma does not particularly well is what matches up well with Ole Miss. Good. They can't run the ball all that well. Well, if you're giving up 4.8 yards per carry again, yeah, you know you're just broken beyond repair, right? But John Mateer can challenge the secondary that has always been a little bit of a leaky sieve. They just don't have a lot of star power and playmaking and dynamicism, not just on the back end defensively, but on the defense writ large. I mean, they're lacking stars. And that tends to happen when you replace 20 of your all 22
That's
offense and
crazy.
defense. And you're 6-1 going to Oklahoma with a win over LSU, who sucks. Should have beaten Georgia. You're up 9 at halftime or at midfield when you could have got a fourth down stop, and the game might be enough to, or you might be able to bury them right then and there. The bottom line is this is going to be this is a coin flip matchup. It's critical for both of these teams. If you're Ole Miss, you get out of this with a win. You escape Oklahoma with the win. You're still on schedule for the playoff. And for all of those things, if you're Oklahoma, you gotta have this one. So I think you're going to see two desperate teams doing desperate things Because they understand that this is, for both of these teams, the swing game of the season. What it would mean as far as winning it for either one of them is a completely different conversation than if Ole Miss were to lose it, because then you're just saying, well, Lane can get out of here then because he's not going to make the playoff. He get out of here. So and so will Florida. All the Florida stuff, it then becomes obvious, flashing in lights that that is a distraction again, like 2022. Or you can keep this season going as it has been, despite the setback at Georgia, which is true contention for the college football playoff, and really in what was supposed to be a rebuilding year. When you're replacing 20 of 22, I don't care if Ole Miss is the portal king. When you're replacing 20 of 22, you got to hit on evaluations and all these things. And Ole Miss is 6-1. They're ahead of schedule. Next year's team could is should be much better for whoever's the coach, who I think it'll be Lane Kiffin. But they're ahead of schedule. But now, can you make up for the disappointment of last year by, one, beating Oklahoma, but by, two, not allowing distractions like in 2022 to derail you? Because last year was a failure by every objective measure. You went 9-3 with losses to Kentucky and Florida when you had the most NFL talent of anybody. This year, a lot has been done right to correct that. But now, can you beat Oklahoma, stay on schedule, kind of, at least for a week, die down this Florida craziness and just make it about football? Right now, it's everything but football, it seems like. And that's unfortunate because this is, like you said, I don't care about game day. Game day is just another corporatized nonsense thing at this point. I mean, you don't even do like the
It's
localized
just
cameras anymore,
atmosphere for me. I love that type of stuff. Just it makes
which
it
I
cool.
get. And look, I was there standing, within feet of Katy Perry when she held a corn dog at College Game Day in the Grove. Like, I get it. Like, but
Well,
that
that's an
college,
infamous one for
it
Oklahoma
is.
fans because of the Trevor Knight stuff.
Yes. And yet
Jinxed him.
that, and yet that she was thirsty that day. And yet that, like that, it's not like that anymore. You had Jelly Roll picking this weekend. He had nothing to do with the teams that were playing. No disrespect to Jelly Roll. I'm sure he's got great music. My point is like, everything has been business corporatized and a lot of, so the spirit of things has been lost. But in terms of a matchup, there are a few bigger and more consequential for both of the teams moving
100
forward than this
percent.
weekend in Norman, Oklahoma.
100%. Real quickly, Ole Miss wins if they do these three things. Oklahoma wins if they do these three things in your mind.
Well, I'm going to get you to send me this file after we're done because you and I have had a good, like, normal conversation. We could put it up on both of our platforms. So I'm going to let you do the three for Oklahoma. I'll do the three for Ole Miss. Ole Miss wins if they number one, if they can make Oklahoma, as they've been for most of the year, one dimensional. And that means you're taking a great risk, because if John Mateer is close to being John Mateer again, he will terrorize you, even if you try to make him one dimensional. But I don't think he's necessarily healthy. I think he's healthier. I do think they kind of rushed him back a little bit out of desperation and just scared poopless about
Yeah, he's
what's
now about a
supposed to happen.
month out now from his
Yeah.
surgery. So that's
So
about
I
where he's supposed to be to come back. So,
yep.
yeah.
So I think John Mateer is going to have his best game since his return. But can you continue to make Oklahoma? They can't run the ball particularly well. So that matches up well with what you're struggling with defensively, not the running component so much as you're doing nothing well. If you can make them one dimensional and play that zone that Pete Golding loves, then I think that Ole Miss will be right there in it. As far as offensively, it's quite simple. Continue, I mean, dominate the football and like you did against Georgia, but like finish it off. Finishing it off isn't just about Georgia. When you're up nine, and if you got in the fourth down stop, you might be able to bear him right then and there. They went five straight possessions, five touchdowns against Georgia. It never happened under Kirby Smart ever before. And yet, you would think in that situation, Ole Miss, like, unstoppable on third down, all the things. Oh, yeah, Ole Miss went in there and beat the crap out of Georgia, and they lost because the defensive effort was so pathetic. So, one, try, like, make John Mateer beat you, as stupid as that sounds, but like, right now, you don't, you got to see what he is, right? If he's not throwing the ball down the field, then try to make him. And that way, you could, a defense that's not generating any kind of play make, no turnovers, maybe then you can sneak up on one. But number two, offensively, you got to finish it off. Washington State, you're up double digits and you gave them the ball back. Not only did you go three and off, three and out, but gave them the ball back with a minute to go. All they had to do is drive the field to either tie or win the game, right? Finish it off. Ole Miss is going to be an efficient offense, but when it's time to put the game away, if you get to that opportunity, put it away. Drive the fatal nail into the coffin, right?
Yeah.
And then the third thing, I think, more than anything else, is Lane Kiffin's got to make this about ball, all right? I don't know how he does it because he doesn't talk about this stuff in season. But what has dominated the Ole Miss conversation all week?
Dominated this, the behind any lines. I mean, that's exactly right. Yeah. Perfect
Make
example.
It about ball because Oklahoma and Ole Miss are right there as far as what they are as teams and what they can be. Both of them can make the college football playoff. You know, they're all – everything is in front of both of these teams. It's unfortunate that we spent most of the time talking about, well, what is Lane Kiffin going to do? Because a primetime matchup on Saturday in Norman, Oklahoma, my first trip to Norman, I'm excited to go check it out for the first time. And yet no one can really enjoy it for what it is because of your philosophical approach to coaching stuff. And that's unfortunate. He didn't do the Dan Lanning saying, I got the job I want. He didn't do the Kurt Cignetti. Right now he's saying, I don't talk about that stuff in season. Well, what that opens up is for it to be about everything but what's happening between the lines. Can you make this about ball? Will this be about ball? Will you get when you get asked if you can do another game day hit? What about Florida? And you go, well, I don't know. Make this about the ball because you're playing better ball than anyone thought you would be in 2025. You're 6-1, even after your first loss of the season. Everything is still in front of you. But now this is a team – like, I could see this one. If Ole Miss – if it isn't about the ball, if it isn't about the game and the opponent, I'm not saying Ole Miss should be favored at Oklahoma, but there's a reason why the money started at 3.5, and now it's, like, already getting betted up in Oklahoma's favor because I think everyone else sees the distraction stuff too. This seems a lot like 2022 Ole Miss-Arkansas or whatever was the game after all the Auburn crap happened. I don't want to say which game exactly, but Ole Miss laid an egg. You could lay an egg in Oklahoma – we're going to be having a lot of different conversations. And that's not to say lose. I mean, you can lose and still make the playoffs at 10-2. What I'm saying is if you go lay a true egg at Oklahoma and allow this thing to spiral out like you did in 2022, losing four of your last five games, Lane Kiffin will go from being the belle of the ball to
get out of here and go to Florida. Yeah.
To something else, whatever that else is. Because Ole Miss will always be forever grateful and indebted to Lane Kiffin. But this is just – we've seen this movie before over here.
Yeah.
We know how it usually ends. He signs an extension. So unless you're planning to do something different, why not make it just about ball? And that's kind of where I'm at with it. I think Oklahoma Ole Miss is going to be an absolute fun dogfight.
Oh, yeah.
Complete coin flip. I have no idea who I'm going with. I picked Ole Miss to lose this game in the preseason. I'll probably just stick to that. But Ole Miss wins if it plays – the brand of football that made it so good to begin with, protecting the football, making it hard enough defensively, and true dynamicism, at least, at the quarterback position with Trinidad Chambliss, or if it's Austin Simmons at a time or two. So, yeah, like there's obvious areas to pick apart, but the one thing for me is, man, just make it about the line, between the lines. Make it about that, because I don't want to talk about your job status. If you go or if you stay, Ole Miss is going to still play football next year, buddy. And I promise you, they're going to go talk to the same people that Florida thinks they're talking to. Eli Drinkwitz, James Franklin, pick whoever you want to pick. I mean, because Ole Miss can do that now.
Yeah,
sure. We're going to take your coach. Okay, the show would roll on. All Ole Miss fans really care about this weekend is not shit in the bed in Oklahoma. And it's not – and, like, the vibes aren't great for that right now, in my opinion.
Wow. Yeah, no, I love how you're so blunt. It's amazing. But yeah, I'll say Oklahoma side of it. They got to stop Chambliss. And look, BV got up there. He goes, look, he's a dynamic runner and he runs just enough to piss you off. Just enough to piss you off. He gets those 50 yards a game and that pisses you off as a defensive coordinator. So I think you've got to control him. You got to control Kyron Lacy, right? Like, excuse me, did I say Kyron Lacy?
It's Kiwan. I've done it too. It's okay.
You're on the Kiwan Lacy. I said
somebody looked at me like I'd done something untoward. I'm like, it's an honest mistake. Kiwan Lacy.
Yeah, Kiwan Lacy. I said Kyron Lacy. That's a
hand up. I did it too, but moving on.
Yep, Kiwan Lacy. Excuse me. You have to control him. He is a dynamic running back. He's got 600 plus yards already this season, like averaging dang near at or more 100 yards a carry, right? Like there are 100 yards a game. That is amazing to me as far as just because from an Oklahoma standpoint, we don't see that a lot. 100-yard games right now. Saw it last weekend with Torrey Blaylock, right? We've seen it twice. He's got 100 and 101 this season. So, yeah, it hasn't been too fruitful with the running game as far as Oklahoma goes. So I think you have to stop the run game with Ole Miss because Lane loves to run the ball. Like people talk about his passing and just his offensive wizardry. He does that with a lot of different formations, a lot of different shifts. He gets a lot of different eye candies, motions, all types of stuff. But it's all pretty simple. It's run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. I'm going to take the shot over the top, or I'm going to do the quick game. And he uses the quick game a lot for the run game as well. So you have to stop that. You have to be physical in the front seven, which Oklahoma really is. That's where their strength is that front seven. Their defensive line is insanely talented. There's a bunch of first round draft picks laced all over that thing. Reason why they lead the nation in sacks, tackles for losses. They have to do that this game. They have to put Ole Miss in a second and third and long type situation and force Kiffin to be predictable. Because if he's in those second and fives, third and fours, that's where he gets you because he's a dynamic play caller. So you cannot allow that stuff to happen if you're
Well, my
Oklahoma.
last thing on this is because you bring up a really good point. Ole Miss was Georgia is not the same defensively as it's been under Kirby Smart. We all agree with that. But
Yes.
Ole Miss's game plan for that was really, really good. I mean, Trinidad Chambliss was getting the ball out within 2 seconds of getting a snap. I mean, it was,
Yep.
and you're going to have to do a similar kind of deal, have a similar kind of game plan for Oklahoma because, like you said, this defense is really, really good, and that's where it could spiral. Because if the defense of Oklahoma, which has been good all year, does what it does against Ole Miss as it's done to every other opponent, regardless if Ole Miss gets a big play here and there, this defense is not equipped to play from behind, let alone to play to win right now.
Yeah.
So if you're Ole Miss, you want to control the ball, but you got to be quick. And I think they learned something at Georgia in that respect that could help them at Oklahoma. But even still, the vibes for me just don't feel great about this game, and I feel like it could go one of two ways. Ole Miss, if it's just operating, playing football, even against a good Oklahoma team, man, I still would have really liked their chances. Right now, it seems like everything else is at the forefront instead of the opponent, to where Ole Miss was prepared, had prepared 3 weeks for Georgia. Oklahoma, like it's like we have to go, oh yeah, and then Ole Miss is playing Oklahoma on Saturday. That's the kind of stuff that gets belt put to ass for you.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am. I want to see how they respond in that way, and if this distraction stuff comes home to roost again.
Yeah, and then lastly for me, just I look, Oklahoma has to run the ball. I said that, you know, but mainly John Mateer can't turn the ball over. Yeah,
And
look,
Ole Miss
he
doesn't get turnovers on defense, so
so
it's a
yeah,
good
well, I
chance.
mean, he neither did Texas, and Oklahoma made Texas look like freaking superstars. They should have had six picks. They ended up with three. I look, he can't force the ball. He's got to do what he did last weekend and be a game manager and make the big throws when he needs to make the big throws, make the third down throws when he needs to make the third down throws. Like, and I know that sounds simplistic, but that's football. Football is really simple when it gets down to it. If you can tackle well in space, if you can force turnovers and you can get your big chunk plays and be ahead at the end in all three of those categories, you're going to win 80% of the football games to. Cause, and I get other things happen within the lines that can change those dynamics, but you're going to win 85% of those games when you do that. And I think that's what Oklahoma has to do. And the crowd has to be in it. 11 a.m. kicks, sometimes the crowd can go be kind of dull at OU. I don't think it's going to happen on Saturday. They're ready for this game. Everybody's excited for this game. So I think everything has to lead into that. And I picked OU to win this game, like you said, preseason. I'll stick with that. I have Oklahoma 9-3 at the end of the season because I don't know that they can go to Tennessee. I don't know that they can go to Alabama and win. So this game's critical for them. They have to. If they want to be a playoff contender still at 9-3, because their schedule is so tough, then they're gonna be playing top 15 teams the rest of the season. So you have that luxury of losing probably two more games, but it can't be at home. It can't be at home. You have to win the games at home for that to take place. So we'll see how it all plays out moving forward. But Ben, this has been Garrett from Ole Miss Spirit on Three. Thank you so much for joining me. That's going to do it for this version of the Behind Enemy Lines OU Insider. Look, Make sure you join us. $1 for the first week, OUinsider.com. Make sure you join Ole Miss Spirit. $1 for the first week, right?
$1, omspirit.com, and a foot of on three, $1. This is what we do. We just talk about, like Brandon and them over there at OU Insider. They talk about Oklahoma all day, every day. That's all we do at the Ole Miss Spirit. So, yeah, come hang out with us.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you. That's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider. Behind enemy lines, Ole Miss version. We will catch you all on the flip side.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.